The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
One of Germany's primary aims in the Middle East is to develop an axis with Middle Eastern states that oppose Iran. In other words, they want help. They want to ally themselves with what is called the moderate Arabs. And this is something the world does not see. Not nearly the way they should. So, what is going to unfold here? Psalm 83, this specifically identifies the Middle Eastern nations that will join Germany. And they will have also conquered Iran first, especially Germany, and Germany led the Allies, of course. They have the real power. I'll just read you a quote here. There has never been such an alliance to attack or totally destroy Israel in history. That's what the commentaries will tell you. It's never happened before. That's because it's only for this end time.
Energy infrastructure across the Gulf, where a huge portion of the world's oil supply is produced, is being pulled into the conflict. Now, for the first time, Tehran is openly threatening energy facilities in neighboring countries. Iran has told civilians to evacuate three major ports in the United Arab Emirates, where it claims U.S. forces are sheltering. According to Tehran, they're legitimate targets because of the U.S.-Israeli campaign against Iran. And to give you an idea of the scale of the attacks the region's energy infrastructure is facing, let's take a look at a map of the Persian Gulf. As you can see here, there have been strikes on oil facilities across the region, from Kuwait to Oman.
Notice what Michael Siegel wrote for the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs, quote, if the Shia rebels gain control of the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, Iran can again attain a foothold in this sensitive region, giving access to the Red Sea and the Suez Canal, a cause of concern not only for its sworn rivals, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the Gulf states, but also for Israel and European countries along the Mediterranean. Arab commentators in the Gulf have warned in recent years about this Iranian push. They even label it the same thing that the Bible does. It's a push. They're always pushing, but there's one big push coming that is going to lead to their destruction. That is in your Bible, and it will happen. So we have, just looking at the map, you can see where how essential all this is to America. So, and of course, the other Arab nations are seeing what's happening, and we're supposed to be their protectors. We have been in the past, but they see now that the U.S. is not going to do anything, and they see what Iran is doing, and as other commentators have said, they're scared to death. And they're beginning to make some strong alliances with Germany. That's where it's all leading.
Some real earth-shaking developments these past 3 weeks. One of the biggest takeaways is that we're just seeing the Psalm 83 alliance come into view. I mean, even at the, just think about how much thinking right across the Middle East has changed in 3 weeks' time, where now you've got these so-called moderate states pleading with America, make sure you finish the job. I mean, it's still the Hormuz Strait. I mean, that could just bring everything to a standstill as far as oil flow goes. And going in, I mean, there's plenty of sympathy for Iran going into this most recent war, just because of the hatred for America. And now you see, you know, America's looking for a way out. You see Europe, Germany's being reeled into the region. And then you see, just like my father said, that's from a 2024 Key of David program. just 2 years ago. And of course, if you know anything about our literature, the King of the South, I mean, we've been on this for decades, preparing you for this alliance. This alliance that looks like it's opposing Iran first and foremost, but the ultimate aim is end time Israel. We'll get to that and much more on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us for The Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at the YouTube channel or the Rumble channel. And you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. So just to step back again and to help us better appreciate the big picture here, prophetically, I played this clip yesterday. Donald Trump, I mean, he is lashing out at Europe. There was another clip this morning someone sent me that said, it was Trump basically saying, you better change your immigration policies. You better change your policies on energy. Otherwise, you're going to die. And there's a lot of truth to that. And the thing of it is, if he only knew that when the Daniel 8 man shows up, there are going to be dramatic changes in Europe. But it's not going to be good for America in the end, not at all. And then Europe, for its part, they're walking a fine line. You had the NATO chief come out and say, listen, if any of you European leaders think we can go it alone without America, you better think again. And then you have other European leaders. They've had enough. They're fed up. The transatlantic alliance is done. It's over. It's finished. They just need the war machine to go it alone. And they're hard at work building it. As you know, if you've been following this program, play again this clip we had from yesterday, clip 9.
We have 45,000 troops in Japan. We have 45,000 troops in South Korea. We have 45,000, 50,000 troops in Germany. We defend all these countries. And then, do you have any minesweepers? And they say, well, would it be possible for us not to get involved? I've been saying it for a long time. This is the greatest thing to come out of this. We spend trillions and trillions of dollars on NATO to defend other countries. And I always said, but if it ever comes time to defend us, they're not going to be there. Many of them would not be there. And we're going to have to start thinking more wisely in this country.
He believes this is one of the great lessons from this war with Iran. It's revealed Europe's true colors. They can't be relied upon. Have any minesweepers? We made the point yesterday that, well, if America's obliterating Iran, if we've won this war, why do you even need help from Europe? And here again, you have President Trump walking the fine line. On the one hand, he's saying Europe's unreliable. They can't even send minesweepers. On the other hand, he's saying, that's okay. We don't need Europe. We're too big. We're too powerful anyway. This article from the Wall Street Journal. America gave up some of its last minesweepers, and then Iran made them necessary again. It's pretty incredible to think about. Because, you know, you listen to the Jeroboam administration, and everything's positive. Everything's 100% victory. We're all powerful, too big to fail. We've got so many munitions and hardware, military weapons and otherwise. It's an unlimited supply. Well, not when it comes to minesweepers. And as it happens, those are really critical at the moment. Last week, as Iran laid mines in the Persian Gulf, four of the U.S. Navy's few specialist minesweepers were on the move to Philadelphia and their eventual decommissioning. How could this happen? The biggest, most powerful military power in the world. The Navy hasn't had a significant mine-clearing capability in decades, former naval officers and analysts said. Well, it turns out there's a reason President Trump has been pleading with other nations. Please send a few frigates, a few minesweepers. We need help in Hormuz. And by the way, the oil flowing through there, it's more for you in Europe than it is for us. such a tangled web. It's a world in peril. It's a dangerous world. And you've got world leaders trying to make sense of it, looking out for their own. Self-interest is the biggest motivation of all. Just as you know, if you understand anything about human nature. You know, this morning in class, I was talking about the final week of Jesus Christ. And just the contrast, we've talked this week on the show about contrast. You know, the world as it is, when you look at it alongside the fantasy world that so many commentators like to create. Well, think about the contrast between the leaders that Jesus confronted in the final week of his life, the Pharisees plotting there in John 11 and 12 to murder him, even Lazarus. They were upset because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And then Christ spent a lot of time in Matthew 19, in Matthew 20, I mean, toward the end of his ministry, talking to the disciples, talking to his students, saying, you know, and they were asking. They were ambitious. You know, it was motivated more by self-interest. You know, we've forsaken all. We've given up everything. What's in it for us? I mean, what's going to be there in the end for us? And Christ said to Peter and James and John and all the others, look, you're going to be kings. You're going to be rulers over the tribes of Israel. You're going to be leaders. Then you get to the account in Matthew 20, and James and John come forward, and their mom was in on it too. Can you make sure that my sons are at your right hand and your left hand in the kingdom of God? And Christ said, you don't know what you're asking for. And then he went on this incredible lesson on what true Christian leadership involves, what it is. And Christ said to them, look, don't think it's like the leadership you see in this world, where they like to lord it over. They're out for their own, motivated by self-interest, wanting to be served, not to serve. It's such a stark contrast. Here you have the most perfect leader to ever walk this earth. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And in that final week of his ministry, you see how the leaders of this world received him. In fact, they didn't receive him, did they? They persecuted him. They plotted to murder him. They eventually crucified him. Before that, they scourged him. That's what worldly leaders thought of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. You can see why there's such a desperate need for leaders in this world today. I mean, we are seeing global alliances shift dramatically. And it's all falling into line with what Bible prophecy revealed thousands of years ago. As you heard my father there in the cold open, I mean, Psalm 83, that alliance has never happened historically. That's because it's for the end time. It's talking about Assyria, modern-day Germany, aligning with the Arabic states or the moderate Arab states in opposition to Iran, but really that's just cover for its ultimate aim. It's to blot out Israel. And that's the same ambition that the dear leader had, the real insurrectionist. And God had to intervene to save America from being blotted out. But the devil still has that as his ambition, his desire. He wants to take out Israel. I mean, what happened in ancient Israel, it has a direct connection or relation to the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth. And Satan hates that. He hates the fact that because of promises God made to Abraham thousands of years ago, that we, our nations, have been the recipients of the greatest wealth and prosperity and blessings this earth has ever seen because of fulfillment to promises that God made because God said it would happen. And Satan hates God's purpose. He hates God's plan. He hates God's blessings. He hates it when God raises up a nation. He hates it when God raises up people. He hates it when disciples faithfully obey and follow in the example of Jesus Christ. He hates it when we're receiving training to be kings and priests for God, to learn how to rule. And of course, to learn how to do it, we've got to let Jesus Christ reign over us. I mean, you see that in the parable of the pounds, Luke 19. He gave those pounds to his faithful few disciples and said, now go and multiply, grow it, increase. See how much you can produce and grow with God's direction and help, using the power of God's Spirit. But as for everyone else in that parable, I mean, if it just plainly says they would not have Jesus Christ reign over them. This world wants no part of coming underneath the authority, the government of God Almighty. They do not want to be ruled. And so you see the free-for-all that we're witnessing now. Every man for himself, every nation for himself. Self-interest reigning supreme. This is from Meet the Press, again, coming back to Hormuz and just the alignment that we're seeing, the realignment of so many of these alliances. Clip 8.
After lashing out at NATO allies for rejecting his demands to help the U.S. reopen the Strait of Hormuz, President Trump is now saying the U.S. does not need any help and that it never needed any help, despite just yesterday saying that numerous countries were on the way to assist in the strait.
We don't need help. You know, that war has been long prosecuted as far as I'm concerned, almost from day one. We knocked out many of these things. We knocked out the Navy essentially in a couple of days. I think NATO's making a very foolish mistake. And I've long said that, you know, I wonder whether or not NATO would ever be there for us. So this was a great test. Because we don't need them, but they should have been there.
This was a great test for NATO. I mean, we've covered both sides on this show. We don't have any, you know, political skin in the game, so to speak. We've shown you at Davos, the Munich Security Conference, what European leaders really and truly think of this man here, Orange Hitler. And then for his part, it doesn't take much for you to see what he thinks of them. So where is this leading? This transatlantic divide, this split, this divorce. And what happens when America, maybe after not finishing the job entirely, we don't even have minesweepers. So it's looking more and more like when America leaves, Iran is still going to be a threat, which again fits perfectly with what Daniel 11 and verse 40 says. Germany's going to have to be the one to come in and finish the job with the help of the so-called moderate Arab states. And then they turn their wrath on the United States of America. As I say, I mean, we've been exposing this for decades, how these Gentile nations have, as Psalm 83 says, they've taken counsel, crafty counsel, to destroy Israel. That's the ultimate aim. That's their ultimate goal, to blot out Israel. And you see it right there in Psalm 83. The crafty counsels mentioned in verse 3, Psalm 83, it says, they have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted against your hidden ones. I mean, this is going on now. We talked earlier this week about the secret dealings between Germany and Russia and so on. And it seems like the Trump administration is utterly unconcerned about any kind of secret dealings or handshake deals or crafty counsel, because we just think that, well, we're so big, we're so powerful, we have so much military equipment, we have an unlimited budget, and we're never going to be vulnerable. Doesn't matter how much debt we accumulate. We're never going to be vulnerable. Well, the United States. I mean, it's our birthday this year, 250 years. And, oh, haven't we told you that we've been praying more? And we've been purchasing Bibles? And we've been talking about religion? Look at the first century. How did the world receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he came in the flesh? It's very revealing. John 3:19 says he came to this world as a light to this world. But what did men prefer? Darkness. In fact, that verse says men loved darkness. We love it. We love being in the dark spiritually. We love, in case you haven't noticed, the wickedness of wicked men, so much of it happens at night, under the cover of darkness. God says, come out of darkness and the works of the darkness, and be children of light. Jesus was a light to this world, and men blotted it out. They crucified him. I mean, God didn't allow it to be blotted out permanently. After 3 days and three nights, he resurrected him to spirit life. And if we're to believe all of his prophecies, he's coming back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you look at the lead into Psalm 83, just backing up to Psalm 82, we went through this recently in class as well. And when Jesus taught this, I mean, when he paraphrased from this psalm, here again, the Pharisees, they wanted to pick up stones and kill him right then and there. It was blasphemy. Talks about the foundations of this present evil world in Psalm 82. Notice verse 5, it says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. That's what we prefer. We love darkness. We walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. All of them? Everything's off course? Everything's off track? That's what the Bible says. I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. You can see why God is training us. That's what he's doing with his family, with God's church. He's preparing us to rule. It's like Mr. Armstrong said so many times, particularly there at the end of his life. He was talking to God's people and he said, look, you're not here just to get saved. You're not here just to get into the kingdom. You're called out of season in advance of the second coming, so that you can be trained, so that you can prepare to rule, to teach, to govern. Christ is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who are the other kings? Who are the other lords? Well, this takes us right to the mystery of the church. Why the church? Why is it a mystery? The parable of pounds. It shows us why Christ had to go to a faraway country, as it says in that parable, and why he didn't return for quite some time. I mean, it's been almost 2,000 years. It's because we need time to overcome and to grow and to learn how to rule, how to lead, how to be a teacher, how to raise children, how to build families. The foundations of this world being out of course. That's Psalm 82. And then you get to this alliance in Psalm 83. And the earth has never, ever seen this. Its fulfillment is for our day. And this alliance, it forms under the guise of, well, we got to finish the job in Iran. We've got to bring peace to the Middle East. We've got to make sure the oil tankers can go through Hormuz without being blown apart. So we're trying to help humanity. You could call the Psalm 83 Alliance the Board of War. We're seeing a lot of those boards because mankind has proven after 6,000 years that he's bored of peace. He doesn't want peace. He doesn't know the way to peace. He talks about peace. Oh, the diplomats of peace, they travel far and wide to negotiate, to have dialogue, to talk about solutions to the many problems we see multiplying. But why can't we ever make peace? It's because the Prince of Peace, he's not here yet. And man has chosen to reject the light. He loves darkness. The world crucified Jesus Christ. That was 2,000 years ago. And how could we be so self-righteous, so arrogant, so vain today to reason that, well, I mean, if Jesus was here right now in the flesh, of course we would receive him. Of course we would obey him. Of course we would follow in his steps. Of course we would learn to be leaders like he was a leader. You know, slave-like service. Wait a second, slave-like? Nah, I never agreed to any of that. That's the way man would respond. That's the way it would react. If Jesus was there saying, it's servant leadership, it's not like the Gentile rulers. It's not like the ones you see all around. Well, they lord it over you. They demand that you serve them. I mean, they're the leaders. They're impressive. They're in charge. They have final say. Jesus was the most impressive leader this world has ever seen. And how did the world treat him? Well, if you're into the Bible, you know the answer to that question. If you're into the Gospels of Jesus Christ or the Gospels he inspired, if you're into his teachings, how he lived, how he prepared for his final week on earth, the resistance that he faced from every quarter, every corner, every direction, even his disciples, Christ was repeatedly saying, okay, just as a reminder, you know why we're going back to Jerusalem for the final time, right? You know I'm going to be persecuted. You know I'm going to be scourged, beaten, and then crucified. And then God's going to raise me to life on the third day. And his own students said, no, that's not going to happen. That'll never happen. It did happen. And his students had a little more to learn. And their minds were opened up to the truth in a powerful and profound way once they received the Spirit of God. And they began to understand the mysteries. And they began to understand why Jesus Christ came to this earth. What was his purpose? Why did he raise up the church? What's the purpose for the church? Why did he have to be crucified? Well, some may have a pretty good understanding of why crucified. But why was he born to be king? Why can't we get that straight? Why is that spiritualized away? Why is the kingdom of God spiritualized away? If he spoke the gospel of the kingdom of God, well, let's talk about God's coming kingdom. God's ruling family government, it's about to appear on this earth. And mankind, the Bible says, your Bible, Revelation 11, all through the book of Revelation, actually, it says the nations are going to be angry. They're not going to want it. They're going to fight it. They're going to fight just like they fought Jesus Christ the first century. They're going to fight the resurrected, glorified Christ when he returns to this earth in the last century. That is man's legacy. So the world is out of sorts. Then you get into Psalm 83 and you see this mysterious alliance, as my father talked about in that program from 2024. And God, I mean, God in this psalm, he names names. This is from 2011, actually, an earlier Key of David, clip 4.
For they have consulted together with one consent, that is, these nations that are allied in the Middle East, and they are confederates against you. The tabernacles of Edom, now, who is that? And the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Amnon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Well, now Tyre still has the same name it had anciently. All you have to do is get a Bible map, or really even any map, and find Tyre, and you know that he's talking about Lebanon. So this is Lebanon is one of these nations. And then Asher, well, who is that? Well, Asher was the father of Assyria, and we've proven for years that Assyria was just the ancient name of Germany. That Germany is the modern name of Assyria. You can see that in our booklet also on the Holy Roman Empire, which will really explain that to you very clearly. And I mean, it'll be irrefutable when you look at the proofs that we present to you. But then it also joined with them, and they helped the children of Lot, Selah, under Herbert W. Armstrong years ago. They wrote in his Plain Truth magazine that Edom was Turkey. Now, you can prove that very easily. It's not hard, but Turkey did move from where they were anciently. And it's also the Ishmaelites, Saudi Arabia, Moab, Jordan, Hagarenes, anciently dwelt in the land known as Syria today. Gebal, also Lebanon. Amnon is also Jordan. So these are not just extremely precise, but it gives you a pretty exact picture of where all these nations are and who they're going to be allied with in the very near future. But one European nation, Germany, is going to work and going to really do a lot to unite these nations right here, all of them that are named. But you'll notice there that Iraq and Iran are not mentioned, even their ancient names, and Egypt, Libya, Ethiopia, they're not there either, because they're going to be allied with the king of the south, or Iran. And we pointed that out in Daniel 11, verses 40 through 43.
Talking about the king of the south as early as 1991, 1992. In many ways, it's his signature prophecy, just like Herbert Armstrong's signature prophecy was about that seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Iran, the head of the snake, the head of radical Islam, it's not mentioned there in Psalm 83, nor is Iraq. Or as you heard there, Egypt, Libya, Ethiopia. But in Psalm 83, you've got Assyria or Germany leading the way together with Turkey, with Jordan, Moab, Ammon, it says there. That's Jordan today. Syria, Lebanon, and then probably also included those little Gulf states, Kuwait, Bahrain. And so, like I say, just in the last 3 weeks, I mean, we've seen these global alliances come into view. We've seen mindsets change in days. Prophecy being fulfilled. This is from Reuters. It says, Gulf Arab states did not ask the U.S. to go to war with Iran, but many are now urging it not to stop short of leaving the Islamic Republic still able to threaten the Gulf's oil lifeline. The Gulf Arab states, they didn't ask for the U.S. to do this. Many of them, behind closed doors, opposed it. Well, we don't want it to set off a regional explosion. Iran's very powerful. The U.S. went ahead and did it. And now you've got these Gulf states saying, listen, Iran has to be stopped. I mean, if you're going to finish the job, finish the job. Reuters says there's wide feeling across the Gulf that Iran has crossed every red line with every Gulf country. At first, we defended them and oppose the war. It quotes this guy. It's a Saudi-based Gulf Research Center. At first, we opposed America. We opposed this war. But once they began directing strikes at us, they became an enemy. There's no other way to classify them. That's the Gulf states basically saying, look, the way Iran responded, they just started randomly firing missiles at our little Gulf state countries. So our view has changed. Our view has changed in a matter of weeks. How do you explain this change? Is it significant? Should we just blow it off, dismiss it, and say, well, you know, people change from one day to the next? Or should we look into the Bible, where it talks about an alliance that we've never seen in human history until today? Until right now. Psalm 83. I mean, when this war with Iran started, the Gulf states were aligned pretty much. Even if it was tacit approval, they were pretty much aligned with Iran. And now they're aligned with America. Got to finish the job. We've got the oil passageway Seagate. It's on the line here. Keep in mind this big picture, and I tell you, it's electrifying just seeing what prophecies are being fulfilled. Just seeing these moderate Arab states now turning openly against Iran. And, of course, eventually against America. That's part of the story, too. Psalm 83, verse 4, it says, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. See, ultimately, this Psalm 83 alliance is opposed to the end-time nations of Israel in particular. That would be America, Britain, and Judah. So in a lot of ways, I mean, coming after the king of the South, coming after radical Islam, like a whirlwind, as it says in Daniel 11, I mean, that's just a stepping stone for this Euro force, united with moderate Arab states, to come after America and Britain, and of course, little Judah in the Middle East. Daniel 11:40, it says, at the time of the end shall the king of the south push. I mean, and we've been seeing the king of the south push. They're still pushing. I mean, they had their top military chief taken out by an Israeli strike. And then Iran responds by lobbing all these missiles into Tel Aviv, killing an elderly couple just over the last 24 hours. These are the leaders of nations today, operating, as I say, on self-interest. You know, like I said, with respect to President Trump, pointing out, you know, the weaknesses in the European Union and elsewhere. And like I've said before, I mean, there's a lot about it that's right, that's true. Europe can't be trusted. I mean, when you look at these prophecies, do you think America should put its faith, its trust in a German war machine? When you look at history, you wouldn't do that. But instead of saying Europe can't be trusted, the only one who can be trusted is the great God of all, and the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you're not going to get that kind of reaction or explanation from the leaders of today. Worldly leaders. Verse 41, this is still in Daniel 11. He comes against the King of the South with a whirlwind, or like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, many ships, and shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over, and he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, Edom, Moab, chief of the nation of Jordan, in other words. Some will escape, others are going to be overthrown. This is an end-time prophecy. And the King of the North comes in. I mean, it looks and sounds very religious and righteous. Well, we just want to get into Jerusalem. We just want to get to the Holy Land. This is where the land is holy. Israel's the real target. This is the way the nations of this world behave. This is the history of human civilization, the history of war. Just going back to Psalm 83, crafty counsel. It says there in verse 3, verse 4, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. It's very similar to what 2 Kings 14 says. The dear leader wanting to blot out even the name of Israel. God had to intervene to keep that from happening. But here God doesn't prevent this from happening. Here the attack is carried out. You put it together with Daniel 11. It says here, they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you, the tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites, Moab, the Hagarenes. Well, all those names that my father rattled off there in that clip that we just played for you. This Reuters article says, Tehran has already demonstrated its reach, attacking airports, ports, oil facilities, commercial hubs in the six Gulf states with missiles and drones while disrupting shipping through the Strait of Hormuz, the artery carrying about a fifth of global oil and underpinning Gulf economies. See, this is in large part why the Gulf states, their mindset, it's shifting. It's shifting pretty dramatically. It's happening fast. The attacks have reinforced Gulf fears that leaving Iran with any significant offensive weaponry or arms manufacturing capacity could embolden it to hold the region's energy lifeline hostage whenever tensions rise. I mean, basically, you read between the lines, and now you've got the Gulf states, the ones that opposed the war 3 weeks ago. Now you've got them saying, listen, President Trump, you better go in and obliterate this Iran's war machine. It better be total annihilation. Otherwise, what's to stop them from closing Hormuz or whatever in the years ahead? What a shift. Pretty dramatic shift in their thinking. And so, just to carry this out, what happens if President Trump doesn't totally obliterate this threat that's in the neighborhood of these Gulf states, by the way? Then where will they turn for help, for assistance, for protection? The Bible gives us the answer. The King of the South, our booklet, discusses it in detail. As the war entered its third week, says Reuters, with U.S. and Israeli strikes intensifying and Iran firing at U.S. bases and civilian targets across the Gulf source said the prevailing mood among leaders was unmistakable that Trump should comprehensively degrade Iran's military capacity. The alternative, the source said, was living under constant threat. Unless Iran was severely weakened, he said it would continue to hold the region to ransom. It's amazing that these statements are being made this openly. I mean, there is a real fear of Iran. But there also used to be a fear in these Gulf states of saying anything openly that would upset Iran. Not anymore. Now they realize, I mean, you better go in for the kill here. Otherwise, we're going to be the ones in danger. And so when the job is not completely finished, you'll see these states, as they already are, aligning with Germany in what looks like an alliance aimed at opposing Iran. And it is, initially. But keep in mind who the ultimate target is, because that's given to us in Psalm 83 and verse 4. If you think about, again, some of the biggest developments coming out of this this war with Iran. It really is. I mean, one of the big lessons for President Trump is it's revealed Europe's heart and mindset. They're not reliable. They can't be trusted. They can't even send a few minesweepers. We've been funding NATO. We've paid trillions of dollars. We've got 40-some thousand troops in Germany. We've got them in Taiwan. We've got them in Japan. We've got them in Turkey. What's the point? If they're not going to help us, if they're not even going to contribute financially, what is the point? Well, you know what MAGA's response would be. Just pull out. Let them go it alone. Let them pay for everything. Let them worry about their own backyard. Let them worry about defending themselves. You see how it's all aligning with God's prophetic view, with the sure word of Bible prophecy. We're drawing near, ever so near, to the return of Jesus Christ. It's so obvious. It says in Eurointelligence, Gulf states will need to rely not only on the United States after the war, but also on Europe and a greater regional cooperation. This is Eurointelligence saying this regional cooperation between the moderate states in the Middle East, they've got to get a stronger alliance together with European forces as well. How about that? Defense support from France and Italy have been well appreciated. A strategic realignment will be necessary no matter how this war ends. No matter how it ends, there needs to be a strategic realignment. That's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing, and it's very significant from a prophetic standpoint. The Gulf states will have to redraw a strategy that can stand up to an unreliable partner, the U.S., and two belligerent neighbors, Israel and Iran. It's perfect. It's perfect. If you're a student of Bible prophecy, you see right where this is leading, going back to that Key of David from 2011. Here's clip five.
Germany has a, through the, really the authority of the United Nations, has naval boats off the coast of Lebanon, and they have naval boats off the coast of or the Horn of Africa, there around Somalia and the Gulf of Aden. In other words, they're at the east and the west end of the Suez Canal, or the sea leading into it. And they are thinking very much about the Mediterranean and the Suez Canal and that oil flowing from the Middle East, because they know how critical that is. Also, Germany has the third largest army in Afghanistan. So they have a very great interest there to be on the west flank of Iran, because they know that Iran is playing a key role. Here, as German Foreign Policy said, .com made this statement, if a German-dominated European solution cannot be accomplished, Berlin will do without Europe and go it alone. Now that shows a lot of power in this country already. And they're building up these alliances in the Middle East to pull these countries away from Iran and the direction that Iran is going. So you can see why Iran and Europe or Germany are going to clash. It's already building toward that. We wrote in one of our articles that there was something that Saudi Arabia and Europe especially just cannot permit to happen, and they cannot permit Iran to get control of those Gulf states there that are rich in oil and right now don't want to have anything to do with Iran, and they don't like Iran, and they're not going to let Iran take their oil and get control of them without a war. And Germany is right there with them as America withdraws. Our Fifth Fleet is in Bahrain, and Germany is helping them right now. And America keeps pulling out, and everybody knows that. So they need somebody to help them, and they're looking to Germany.
That was from 2011. That's 15 years ago. And again, with the Jeroboam prophecy, I mean, you are seeing some strength. It's going to be spent in vain. That's what the Bible says. But there is strength. there's been some courage. Jeroboam has shown some courage. Going after the head of the snake is long overdue. It's 47 years late. It's 20, for sure it's 25 years late. Following 9/11, look at what it has taken for an American president to finally do something. And yet every prophecy you heard alluded to there in that clip from 15 years ago, it's more relevant today than it's ever been. Here are the Gulf states worried about the flow of oil, worried about Hormuz, worried that the job's not going to be completely finished, coming out with public statements. We need closer ties with each other and with Europe, specifically Germany. Because Donald Trump can't be trusted to finish the job. And you can't trust the Jews. We're going to spend more time on that subject later this week. As I said yesterday, I mean, nothing causes deranged thinking and reasoning like Orange Hitler and Jew hatred. Jew hate. That's how you explain what happened with Joe Kent and why his tweets today are almost diametrically opposite of what he was tweeting 5 years ago. I mean, people change, our understanding grows, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a mind change. And it's brought on by what? Hatred of Jews. There you go. Chapter 10 of the Key of David book. Look into it. Read it. Tomorrow's News Today. What you heard right there, that clip. 2011. Tomorrow's News Today. Get the Key of David booklet. I mentioned the King of the South. Both of those booklets we offer without cost or obligation. Everything we offer on this show. It's already been paid for. Just give us your mailing address and we'll send you free copies today. You see the Psalm 83 Alliance. I mean, it's like they're going up through a warm-up round right now. Getting ready for when they, together with Germany, in the next round, and they go against Iran, they go against the head of the snake, they go against the King of the South, like a whirlwind. Blitzkrieg warfare, and it is, then it will finally be obliterated, annihilated. But that's only the beginning stages of what your Bible describes as great tribulation. And all of it, 3.5 years of it, culminating in the spectacular return of Jesus Christ to this earth, to rule this earth. To reign over the earth, to reign over nations, to reign over the whole world. Read about it in Zechariah 14 and Revelation 11 and Revelation 19. And read about how mankind fights it, resists it, persecutes it, tries to blot it out. That has been man's history. And that age of man is almost up. And Satan knows this. Revelation 12 says he knows that his time is short. And that's why we see a world so full of trouble and peril and violence and division. That's why we see all of these shifting alliances on the global stage. And most people, they're just completely in the dark because that's what human nature loves. We don't love the sure word of Bible prophecy. We love darkness. We want to hear smooth things. We want to hear messages about peace, about unity. Well, we're getting some messages, but they don't, as you see, as I said earlier this week, you're seeing an even more stark contrast between what is real, what's actually happening in this world today, and what many people pretend is happening. I mentioned the literature, Mystery of the Ages, Incredible Human Potential. If you're looking for an even bigger picture, those would be great studies as well. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.